Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Running. Okay, there. Thank you very much indeed.
To say rolling, doesn't it have to be a camera?
No, not really. Well, in the old days, you had manual tape machines. Not the word manual. Wow. What's the word? What's not digital is...
Analog.
Analog tape machines. Yeah, I know. It's terrible.
There's a thing you can have, like an illness, where you forget words all the time.
Yes, I know. It's called old age.
No. When you can have all the time, like... So you can, most of the time, you can speak normally and whatever, but your brain doesn't work the same way to remember words or something. Because I thought about this when... So there's this thing that you can't see pictures in your head. So you just inside your head, if you close your eyes... You know, if I get you to close your eyes and I'm like, think of a green field... There's a big tree with apples on it and there's flowers all in the garden and stuff.
Yeah.
Then you can see it in your
head. I can
see
that in my head now. I'm looking at it.
So there's people in the world who can't see anything when they close their eyes and they can't think of anything. So they really struggle to remember the names of people. So they can remember someone's name, but they can't put it together with a face.
I think in a milder form, what that is just old age.
Because people who are young get that.
I saw...
They do. No, you're born with it. And then people usually discover they have it when they're in sort of 20, 21 or something.
Mm. I saw a woman getting out of a car. I saw a woman getting out of a car in a public car park in Wakefield. And I knew, and I said hello. And she said hello. And I walked on. And I knew her from somewhere. And for ages and ages and ages, I could not work out two or three. I tried to work out all the places that I might have seen this woman. And then on last Friday, I went to London. I got the train from Kirgate Station. And I've not been to Kirgate Station for a month or two, 2 months, 3 months. I've always got the train from Westgate Station. It's not going to be madly interesting for people outside Westgate.
This is an absolutely scintillating
it is.
Story.
Anyway,
I'm on the edge of my seat.
I know. I went in there and it was the woman who serves in the coffee bar in Kirgate Station.
And those are the kind of thrilling endings. But it was so boring.
True. That was boring. I agree with you. But it is so true that you can see someone. You know the face. Janet and I, your mother and I, ages and ages ago, were walking down the street in Leeds, and we saw this guy, and we thought, he's in a soap opera. He's quite a well-known actor. He's definitely a soap. And we went through all the soaps, and we were trying to think who the guy was and from what soap he was, until Sunday of that week when he came round with a Chinese takeaway.
Another thrilling story.
You know what I mean?
It's the cliffhangers in the way you tell it.
Well, I thought that was quite an amusing story.
That is more funny.
It's more funny, thank you. Well, let's see that we're getting some sound on this. Do the sound check now. Do you want a quality joke here?
Yeah.
I've downloaded this new app. It's brilliant. It tells you what to wear, what to eat, and if you've put on weight. It's called the Daily Mail. No? When I was younger...
That's not hilarious.
Well, that's from a lady comedian called Hayley Ellis.
That's why women can't make jokes.
Yeah, they can't really.
I don't just not agree with what he says. I honestly think he's a bad man. I think that the way he acts is completely inappropriate, and I think he's extremely rude to Susanna Reid, and I think that to be in that kind of position of power, I'll tell you what, you wouldn't find a woman in that position of power, because when Katie Hopkins went to... So she's always been controversial. She had a column in the Sun. She said loads of controversial things. But she took it a step too far, which Piers Morgan has already done. And now she's been cast aside. Fair enough. But do you honestly think that a woman could act the way that Piers Morgan does on Good Morning Britain?
Well, now, your friends in the Corbynite wing of the Labour Party claim that Fiona Bruce acted that way to Diane Abbott on Question Time.
Do you think so?
No, I don't think so. I thought she was perfectly fair. But
yeah, I know, but...
People are good. Yeah, yeah.
But Fiona Bruce did not act the way that Piers Morgan does.
Well, they're saying... I don't think she did, but they're saying she did. Do you not see the controversy?
Yeah, but and then that's another... No, I saw the controversy about it. But then that's another example of how Fiona Bruce... Obviously, anyone who was following David...
Dimbleby,
yeah, that's right. Anyone who was going to be following David Dimbleby, who had been doing the show for, what, 25 years or something ridiculous, and does it extremely well, was going to face scrutiny. But a lot of people were saying she faced more scrutiny because she was a woman, and people were instantly trying to pick out things that she did wrong because she was a woman more than they would have done with a man.
No, I don't think so. I think she got... I think people were glad that it had changed and it was a woman. I think people got fed up with David Dimbleby, and she got a very, very good reception from everybody, from all those nearly dead Daily Mail readers. She got a very, very good reception. The people she didn't get a good reception from was the left-wing Corbynite, etc.
That was because she was good at it. Do you know what I mean? She got a good response because she was good at it. But before that, people were instantly, as soon as it came out that she was going to be it, people were trying to find things.
People were trying to
pick faults, but luckily she was very, very good at it.
So I'll tell you what I did see in a thing I watched on Netflix called The Last Laugh, which had Chevy Chase and Richard Dreyfuss in it. They were in a retirement home, and he was saying, Chevy Chase said, it was too many old people here. And they said, we don't use the O word these days. We don't talk about old people. Pre-dead is what we call them now, which I thought was a good joke.
Yeah, but I just don't understand what you mean, because you, on the one hand, you're saying... So do you think anyone should be able to make jokes about absolutely anything?
Yeah.
And that's okay?
Yeah.
Even if... But what if the jokes aren't funny?
Like, some people say that should be the rule.
No, but people
if
say...
they're funny, they're funny.
Yeah, but sometimes they're funny, but only to a certain type of person. Sometimes people make jokes about black people or Pakistani people or something.
That's not broadly funny. That's not happened for 40 years.
You don't think that's happened for 40 years?
No, I don't think
people make jokes. People have been
Except
making jokes
Benidorm,
about women.
In Benidorm, there are still comedians from in the 70s.
In the last 5 years, people have made jokes about women.
Oh, no, you didn't say women. You said black people and Pakistani people. Okay, so let's take women anymore
for an example there. You think that anyone should be able to make any jokes about women?
More or less, if they're funny. I mean, that is the rule, if they're funny. See, all that stuff...
But sometimes, what if they're only funny to men?
You know, when I look at the comedians that I grew up with, the Ken Dodd and Les Dawson and Morecambe and Wise and all those people, and let's mention Fawlty Towers again, because you know I like that, and Monty Python, it appealed to loads of people, predominantly men, I'll agree. Well, it depends which one you're talking about. Monty Python was very male, but that wasn't because it made jokes about women. It was because it was a sort of humour that appealed to, like, sixth formers and university, you know, men who'd done A-levels, that sort of thing.
But I think though that you can still say stuff that's funny. And but, like, so In Between Us, I think, is a really good example of something. I think In Between Us is absolutely hilarious. I think it's one of the funniest comedies and one of the funniest, like, school comedies that's ever been made. And that is four boys, and the humour is very, I don't know, almost locker room humour. Like, it's that type of thing. But because... But,
I think we've moved on from that. I don't think you could make The In-Betweeners
I think you
now.
Could make The In-Betweeners.
You know, The In-Betweeners is pre-Me Too, it's pre-Weinstein, it's pre-transgender.
I rewatch that now, and I never think that the way that they make... And because they do make jokes about women, and they call the girl who's played by Emily Attack, they call her Big Jugs or something like that, whatever they call her. But the humour towards women never feels malicious, and it never feels disrespectful.
Doesn't have to.
No, it doesn't have to, that's what I'm saying, but those types of jokes about women are fine.
Well, they were fine. They were fine 10 years ago. They're not fine now. What I'm saying, I suppose, at the end of all this...
But you can still be funny.
Can I just tell you about this guy who, Russian comedian, his name is, Konstantin Kisin, who said he pulled out of a gig which he was doing for UNICEF on London School of Oriental and African Studies after refusing to sign a behavioural agreement form. The form stated, "By signing this contract, you are agreeing to our no-tolerance policy with regards to racism, sexism, classism, ageism, ableism, homophobia, biphobia, transphobia, xenophobia, Islamophobia, or anti-religion, or anti-atheism." Kishin said, "I grew up under the Soviet Union. When I saw this letter basically telling me what I could and couldn't say, I thought this was precisely the kind of letter a comic would have been sent there," which struck me as an indication it's gone too far. Thank you very much for that, David. For everybody who emailed, if you do want to email us, no specific question this week, but you might have a view on Churchill and stuff like that. If you do want to email us, it's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So if you're listening for the first time, one of the things we always do is I bring a piece of music from my generation and Ruth brings a piece of music from hers.
Mm-hmm.
I was rather fascinated by yours.
Yeah, I wish you could listen to the whole of the song because I think that it's one of those songs that is really...
Well, it's called Movie.
Movie, and so the beginning is a lot of like speaking. I was just about to say, couldn't you just play like lots of 20 seconds, but then you can't do that because that's the whole thing. Yeah.
But I can play the bit right at the start. So this is how it starts. I'll play a little bit of this. About 12 seconds of this.
My cheek brushes against his, smooth on stubble for a moment, and then it's gone. He walks along the platform as if in a dream. Every fibre in me wants to shout and scream, stop, to run across to him and take him in my arms.
Yes,
it's almost old-fashioned.
Very old-fashioned. Yeah. It's like Brief Encounter. They're at, she talks about the platform. He's on the platform.
Yeah. It's just clever, yeah. I think. And then, I'll tell you about him and then we'll listen to the other bit of the song. So he's from South London, mm-hmm. and he's a multi-instrumentalist. Mm-hmm. He's called Tom Misch, by the way. And he fuses low-slung hip-hop beats and like disco and also like jazz. There's a very, really jazzy, but also kind of, yeah, it's got the hip-hopness to it. And he's collaborated with people like Loyal Kana and Jordan Rakai, who we've heard from, and he's done it kind of all on his own. Like, he's very much like do it yourself, and he's built up to a fan base of 2.5 million monthly listeners on Spotify.
It's amazing how they do it. See, in the old days, you'd have to play around at clubs and gigs for like a couple of years to build up.
Well, he has been around for a while, though. He's been making music since, God, like 2014, probably. Like, he's not...
Well, still only 5 years, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose so. And then I think that his first full album was in 2015, maybe. And then this one is from 2018, this album called Geography, which the track Movie is from.
Remember me, fresh out of black and white. Movie on every screen.
mystery. Yeah, there is a movie by Tom Misch.
I would recommend listening to the whole thing of it.
Is there any rap in it?
I don't think there is. I think he does do bits of... But again, it's more like the rap that Locana does, which is more like speak rap. It's not like gangster rap or anything like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, Tom Misch and movie, which sounded quite old-fashioned, but it could have come from any generation. That it didn't
kind
sound...
of. I guess it's just like all the sections of it could be from any time, but he kind of puts it all together.
Well, knowing that you're not a huge fan of reggae, I haven't chosen reggae for a week or two, but I have this week. This is because it started off as a country song. I like the way that virtually any song can be adapted to reggae. And it's one of the great reggae bands, probably, well, the actual, one of the first reggae bands, Toots and the Maytals.
Listen. Most heaven, West Jamaica, sure is a mountain shining down the river. All my friends there holding on those reeds, younger than the mountain, going like a bee. From the road, baby, the
do you know the song?
This is Country Roads.
Take Me Home.
Yeah, no, this gets played all the times in like a ironic way, and then it's also like a bit of a meme as well.
Country Roads
has become like a thing.
Is this
you know like how I played accident, like you know how the songs from Shrek have become like a thing?
Yes,
Country Roads is like a thing.
It's like a thing.
Yeah,
but is it the Toots and the Maytals version that's like a thing, or is it John Denver? He says, "Take me home, West Jamaica."
Who was that one?
That was Toots and the Maytals.
No, so the original one.
The original's John Denver.
Yeah, that's the one.
And this is the cleverness of reggae, because in John Denver's version, it said, "Take me home, West Virginia," and they changed it to "Take me home, West Jamaica."
Genius.
All right. You like that though? So, no, you're not,
I prefer,
not a fan of reggae.
No, okay. I just don't like it that much.
Well, the Maytals were formed in the early 1960s and were key figures in popularising reggae music. In fact, they were the first people to use the word reggae. So, they might have invented it. Toots Hibbetts is the lead singer. His soulful vocal style has been compared to Otis Redding and led him to be named as one of the 100 greatest singers by Rolling Stone magazine. Their 1968 single Do the Reggae was the first song to use the word reggae, naming the genre and introducing it to a global audience. See, people, if I asked you who introduced reggae to the world, what would you say?
I forgot what you said. Toots and...
Well, no, Toots Hibbert.
No,
well,
wait,
you wouldn't
what
say
it?
That. It's Toots and the Maytals.
What would I say if you hadn't taught me anything?
Yes. You would say Bob Marley.
Bob Marley, yeah. That's what I meant. Yeah. I almost said Bob Dylan, but that's not the same person.
No, it's not the same person at all.
I almost... You know what my first thought was? Levi Roots.
No, he introduced Reggae Reggae Sauce. Was it called Reggae Reggae? Yeah, I thought it was. But that was the first one to use the word reggae, naming the genre, introducing it to a global audience. The Maytals were described as sensational, raw and dynamic. And Toots Hibbert was born in 1942, so that would make him 77 now. Still around. He was the youngest of seven children. He grew up singing gospel music in a church choir. You can tell there's a bit of a gospel-y voice there.
And if you did want to listen to the full songs, then you can go onto the Spotify playlist that we've got. You can see the search for Ruthie, Me and My Dad, and that'll take you straight to the playlist, or just search Martin and Ruth and you'll find our profile.
Yeah, well worth it to listen to the full Tom Misch, as you say. Because
did you like it?
Yeah, well, I thought it was interesting. I heard the first bit and I thought, what the heck's this? You know, with the...
speaking.
At the platform. Sounded like Celia Johnson, which won't mean anything to you, but Celia Johnson was...
Doesn't, you're right.
She was in Brief Encounter with Trevor Howard.
Still, nothing.
Old movie stars. Liam Neeson. What's your take on Liam Neeson?
For the listeners, should we do two things before we start talking about it? One, say what Liam Neeson said.
I was about to say
Were
that.
You going
to
say that? I just didn't want you to be like, what do you think? And
no,
then people were like, I don't know what's going on. And then they think we might be discussing Taken 3 or something.
No, we won't discuss Taken 3.
He said in an interview. Have you not seen...
I've never seen any of the Taken films.
You've never seen
films.
Any of the Taken films?
I've not seen Taken 1, Taken 2, or Taken 3.
I've not seen 2, I don't think. I think I've seen 1 and 3.
Well, Taken 3 is kind of...
You won't understand Taken 3 at all if you've not seen the first two.
No. Liam Neeson said that he once armed himself.
Oh, no, my other thing to preface with was
Who's Liam Neeson?
No, we are white people.
Yes,
and this is an issue about race, and I think that it's really important to say when you speak on it, because white people should, especially people with a platform to speak about it. But I think that they should say before that it's important to stand back and let black people speak about race.
I'm assuming most people will have realised by now that we're white.
Because
there is a picture that goes up with
It's important. I think it's really important to acknowledge it, to say, I'm going to talk about this because I can talk about it, and it's important to acknowledge like race issues, even if you're not like minority ethnic, but black, Asian, minority ethnic. But you should say,
you see, I'm part of a persecuted minority. I'm Jewish. We control the media, we control banking. So, but apart from that, we're more or less a persecuted minority.
But you should say that. It's important to step back and, you know, and let, you know what I'm saying? I just think that you should say that before we talk about it.
Well, go on, you tell us what he's done and what he's said.
So, he was promoting his film, which is called Cold Pursuit, and it's a film about revenge. And several years ago, his friend told him about how she'd been raped and by a black man. And he went out for a week trying to find a black man to murder because he was so angry. It's basically the story.
Did you not think to yourself that this... I mean, the first time I heard about this and heard about all the row that it had created, I thought to myself, this sounds to me like a story... Because he's an actor, and it sounds to me like a story he'd made up
to sell
a film about rape. Because why would you...
Revenge.
About revenge, sorry, it's not about rape. So it struck me that he made the whole thing up.
No, I don't think he has, because I think that he would have said he made it up by now. I don't think he could...
It just sounded so implausible.
What I think was the first thing is, oh my God, he's 66 years old, he's been doing interviews for 40 years of his life or something, and he said that in an interview. Are you actually kidding? Is he stupid? Do you know what I mean? Of course that would turn into a massive story. Like, how could you not? That was my immediate reaction, was like, as if.
See, we're getting two views on this. Piers Morgan, for instance, is saying that he's a horrendous racist.
Yeah, and he's a murderer, and he should,
Well, he's not a murderer.
Not a murderer, but that's kind of what Piers Morgan said. He was but the act of thinking about murder is the same as committing murder, which would make me a murderer probably too. And
everybody else.
Else in the world. I think, and so he said it's absolutely abhorrent and stuff. Yeah. And then the other side of the thing is that he's been actually quite honest by acknowledging it.
John Barnes, who's a black ex-footballer, has said that he thinks he's very brave coming out and admitting, and we're all racist in some way, which I suppose we are.
I think that he is completely right. I don't know whether...
You think who John Barnes
I think John
is
Barnes
right.
is right that everyone is inherently racist, unconsciously. Hmm. I think that maybe not... I don't know whether racist would be the right word, and I don't know whether it would be more like racial prejudice. Because I just think that you
What's
like...
What's the difference?
So, well, racist would
You can
mean
be
that
racist without being prejudiced.
No, I think you can be prejudiced without being racist.
No, what I'm saying is you can be racist, but you would treat people equally.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. I think that... you have a natural affinity for people who look similar to you. And there's scientific studies on this that you are more likely... It's like an animalistic thing, that you're more likely to protect people and like people who look more similar to you on a basic level. And there's...
Do you think it's outrageous that Liam Neeson's movie has been cancelled, the premiere of his movie?
I don't know, but I think that he...
No, I want you to say... Yeah, I think it is. I think it's outrageous that his movie has been cancelled.
Well, yeah, I do think that's bad, because
let's go and rip up all... let's find somebody who's committed some outrage at some point. Let's go and...
Rip up all Harvey Weinstein's films.
Yeah, let's go and throw away all Harvey Weinstein's... Let's go and tear down Leonardo da Vinci's paintings.
No, I think that is ridiculous, but I also think that what Liam Neeson has done wrong now... So I think that it's not... I don't think it's brave.
You don't think it's brave?
No, I don't know. Because on the one hand, I think that... he is honest when he's saying that, like, being angry will make people act not like themselves and will make people do things that they wouldn't normally do. Mm. And I've been in arguments with mum or whatever where I've said things in the heat of the moment that I would not think about saying, afterwards, or, you know, with my friends and relationships, whatever, like, you do say stuff that you then immediately wish you hadn't said. But I think that him saying, I'm not racist, and then saying, after he said all that stuff, and then going, oh, I'm not racist, I don't even think he understands his own feelings, and I don't think he understands his own racism. And then he came out afterwards and he did the show, whatever, where he was explaining
himself.
Good
Morning America.
Yeah, and he didn't apologise, and he should have. He should have said, I'm sorry for being that person. I'm sorry for thinking
those
things.
Why do you have to apologise? I think it's enough to explain. What difference does that make? He's sort of just explaining...
No, because the way that he explained... I don't know whether apology would even be the right word, but the way that he explained was not at all remorseful of thinking those things.
Well, you say it wasn't remorseful.
It was just an explanation. Yeah. And also, he would never have said... The thing that it comes down to, which I think is the really weird thing, is that he said in the interview, the original interview, when she said that she'd been raped, he said, what colour was he? Someone who's not racist doesn't do that. If one of my friends told me that they'd been raped, I would never ask what colour they were.
That's him telling the story. Because I still cleave to the view that he's made it up to flog the movie. Because conveniently, see, obviously, what the next step for the media would be to track down the Liam Neeson friend who was raped. She's dead.
Yeah.
She's dead. So it just seems very convenient that for the basis of this story that he's told...
Do you think that someone would stoop that low? As to make a story about someone being raped? Yeah, to sell a movie.
I think it might be possible. I'll tell you what I think. I think it's possible he'd heard the story and somebody else did it. He wanted to talk about the sort of atavistic nature of revenge. And I think he's plucked a story and he's an actor. I don't know, but I think there's at least a 50-50 chance of that.
Wow, 50-50, throwing out some statistics.
I think there's at least a 50-50 chance. I also think that, in a way, because he grew up in Ireland at the time of the Troubles, when there were all sorts of revenge attacks going on all the time. The daily life in Northern Ireland was about revenge attacks, about people being kneecapped and absolutely terrible, terrible things that he grew up with in Northern Ireland. That's another reason you would cut him a bit of slack, I think.
Yeah.
And certainly not cancel his movie. Maybe conditioned by Northern Ireland. Now, in Northern Ireland, what people used to ask people all the time was, what school did you go to? And they know immediately whether it was a Catholic or a Protestant. And if in his upbringing, when there was a rape or a crime or a kneecapping or anything like that, one of the first questions you would establish was what religion was the person who did it. So I'm just wondering if that's influence.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think that it's really... What I think it does highlight the whole story is that people are really quick... People really quickly, after the story had been released, took aside Piers Morgan, it's abhorrent, blah, 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 John Barnes. Oh, he's a hero for saying this. Do you know what I mean?
It's in between.
It's somewhere in between. And it's and also, to talk about this takes massively complex conversations about race in general. And I'm not educated enough to do that on it. I don't think you are. Like, I think you need, like, professors in... like race relations
I'm not a professor, but do you want my very playful take on this?
This is a pre-prepared joke.
And that's it. My take on this is that people are prepared to cut Liam Neeson a bit of slack, but not Harvey Weinstein or Woody Allen, so I'm putting it down to anti-Semitism. I'm joking.
I thought we could talk a bit about Manchester Pride event.
Oh yeah.
So Pride... I don't know how long Pride's been going for. Maybe
20 years, I'm
25
guessing.
Years or something
maybe
like that.
Something like that.
I think, yeah. Anyway.
They had Carnival in Brazil. It's been going for years and years. And it was sort of like...
It's not the same thing at all.
No,
but, well, this is the idea. So it's like kind of what is Pride now? Because it used to be a protest and it was people marching about the rights of LGBT people.
Initially it was just gay people. It wasn't anything to do with LGBT. LGBT hadn't been invented when Pride started.
So it was just gay people and lesbians as well?
Yeah, it was.
Just lesbians and gay people. That was before we had such a spectrum of different sexualities and when people thought that sexuality was more rigidly set. But that's not what we're getting into. So Manchester Pride this year has have got Ariana Grande to sing at the Pride Live, it's called, the Pride event or whatever. and tickets have been priced at £70, which is obviously absolutely ridiculous because it's meant to be a Pride event. It's based on a protest and it's based on...
No, but if you went to see Ariana Grande in concert...
No, but it shouldn't... But the idea that Pride shouldn't be about that, it shouldn't even really be a paying event, it should be free. Like, Britney Spears is headlining Brighton Pride and that's free. Also, Ariana, she's had a lot of backlash about it because Ariana Grande is not LGBT. And it's kind of, a lot of people are saying but at least it's free for Britney Spears. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that there's less.
Well, and I think Pride itself has been a commercial event for years. But you know, sponsors.
It has been, and it has been commercial, but people have really kicked off about it this year to do with the Manchester one because of the, like, extortionate prices of the tickets. It's not just sponsors. And so someone tweeted, F Manchester Pride at this point, and everyone going, people in the LGBT community shouldn't have to have disposable income to attend a protest for their rights. It's disgusting exploitation of LGBT people. And after all this backlash, Ariana Grande said that she was, like, grateful and excited about the opportunity and blah blah blah, but still, it is really, I think it's really not on. I think there's a certain amount of, I think there's a certain amount of commercialisation that has already happened, but I think that this Manchester one has taken it almost too far.
So it's LGBT been a long time since Pride was any sort of a protest. I mean, it's a parade.
Not protest. I think it was a protest at one point.
Yeah, when
but
it
then
first
it's
started.
Coming to a Pride parade to show pride and solidarity with people and a place where you can be very open about sexuality when you might not always be able to be.
Hmm. But it's not just a protest, is it?
It's not a protest it's a parade now, but it's still a parade. You shouldn't have to pay £70, that's ridiculous. A lot of people won't have £70 and that doesn't make them not LGBT anymore.
No, but I mean, I presume you don't have to, you can, I assume that the...
I think most of it is this... Pride Live bit there.
No, that sounds to me like nonsense. It sounds to me like just people are kicking off just for the sake of kicking off, to be
really?
Honest.
Really? I don't think so.
Yes, it sounds like typical Twitter to me, that. I mean, if you want to go and see Ariana Grande, fine. £70's about what it costs these days. I think it's too much to go and see Ariana Grande, but that's
and
what it costs.
Then on the other hand, do you think that it's okay that Ariana Grande, who is straight, is headlining it?
Yeah.
Don't you think it should be an LGBT person?
No, I don't see that at all. I don't see that.
No, but I'm just saying, if it's going to be a Pride event about being proud to be LGBT, don't you think that it would send a better message if you had someone who was LGBT performing? I do think there is an exploitation of Pride by capitalist companies and big corporations. I think there's a real thing now, and it was making me think of this, of like capitalist companies and big corporations trying to act like they're your friends. If you've seen the
bank,
I can't remember what bank it is. Halifax or NatWest or no, a big bank. HSBC maybe, and they've got these posters, and they've got them up for all the different cities, but the ones in Leeds, it's like, we are Leeds, we are salt of the earth, and ex cotton town, and it's like, stop trying to be my friend, you're not my friend, you're a bank. And I really, really hate it, and I don't like the idea that corporations like Coca-Cola would latch onto it. And then I saw this is kind of me ranting about...
This is you, yes.
How awful, like, the big corporations are and stuff, but I think that events like Pride really show how messed up the world is like that.
What do you think about actual products trying to be your friend? If you buy a couple of avocados from Marks and Spencer's, it says, keep me in the fridge.
Oh, like, what's it called? Animatization or something. What's the word?
Oh, God.
You know what I'm on about? The animation of it.
So with animals, you call it anthropomorphism.
Yeah, anthropomorphism, but it's not that.
Not that with products.
With inanthropomorphism or something?
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway.
I have no idea. Does that annoy you?
What does annoy me is loyalty cards. I don't have any loyalty cards anymore because I saw this girl's, and she did like a video essay about it, and she was talking about loyalty cards, and you can't be loyal to a company. You shouldn't want to be loyal to a company. A company can't be loyal to you because loyalty is something that is between two people. And then she went on to speak about it and how it encourages people to spend money and stuff, which is something I already knew, and how.
But I suppose
in Boots, it's like a penny is like 1 point is a penny, so like 40 points. You're like, oh, I've got 40 points, but it's actually only 40p and stuff. But what she, and I was like, well, that I already knew, I don't care. But what she said that was more like hit home was the idea that companies were trying to be people that you could feel things for, and like you shouldn't feel things for companies. You should just, they are companies and they're not your friends, and you can't be loyal to them, and you shouldn't have to be.
No, I mean, I think loyalty cards, I quite agree with you. Having said that, if I ever remember to hand my Cafe Nero card over in Cafe Nero, I mean, mostly I don't, but if I ever remember, I always get a little stamp on it, a little bit of buzz of enjoying it when you get your free coffee.
That's the thing, like, I've had free Subways from having a sub card, not like in the day, not recently.
When you're not a submarine commander then?
When I used to go to Subway's more. And then it's like, well, if I'm going to get one free, and I've been buying them anyway, but then there's a part of me thinks, well, maybe I wouldn't be going to Subway as often if I didn't have the card. Like, I don't think I choose to go there because I've got the card, but maybe subconsciously you do. Mm. But then also the word loyalty shouldn't refer to companies.
No.
And I don't like it.
But the thing is, it's capitalism. And it's making money. And we've decided, having read through all that Russian history, that probably capitalism is the least worst system.
Yeah, well, it's like Winston Churchill said, democracy is the worst kind of government, apart from all the others.
And she says there's a subgenre of sexism that this woman, Laura Bates, encounters again and again when she visits schools to talk to teenagers. So she's she's everyday sexism. She gives talks to teenagers, which is excellent. It makes no difference if the school is private or state co-ed or single sex in the South or the North, everywhere she goes. She says boys say the same things. And I didn't really think boys said these things. And you'll have to tell me if you've heard any boys say any of these things. Mm-hmm. Rape is a compliment, really, they tell her. It's not rape if she enjoys it. It's normal for girls to cry during sex. These are all in quotes here. A girl has to have sex with you if you're her boyfriend. And why does Bates even bother talking about consent and assault, they demand, when everyone knows so many women lie about it? Now, I'm just...
There's a definite trend of boys thinking that that girls lie about being raped. That's 110%. And I think that this is a certain type of boy as well. And I don't think every boy would say that. And especially... So the one about, like, a girl has to have sex with you if you're her boyfriend, that's a very particular type of boy. And,
and you can,
I don't think loads of people would say
you
that.
Steer clear the second of those sort one, of boys?
Though. Yeah, but the second one, what was that one?
It's not rape if she enjoys it.
I think that people say that.
Do they really?
Yeah, maybe as a joke, but I think that usually if you say something as a joke, you think it.
See, I thought all these attitudes have moved on a bit. I mean, that sort of thing would have been said when
not
I was
loads.
At school.
I just think that there's always going to be. So, like, there was a backlash against feminism in the 1980s when people became really, like, traditional and really in their Christian values and stuff. And I think that because women are not just women, but men as well, are starting to stand up for sexual assault, and there's been the whole Me Too movement, there's always going to be a backlash against whatever it is. So I think it's probably that a bit. I don't know. And it may be a thing of, like, subconsciously men feel a tide changing in power balances. Mm. But I think what is, again...
Do you think it's because of pornography? Do you think a lot of... Because the one thing that's different now than from when I was at school is the availability of online porn.
Kathleen Moran called it, like, a world of rampant online pornography or something.
So would you say most of the boys that you encounter at school will be watching pornography?
Oh, my God, yeah, of course. From the age of, like, 13 or 14. 12, 13, 14-ish.
Yeah.
What
about the girls? The girls watch pornography?
No. Well, at least they don't talk about it.
No.
Not really. Because also, I think porn is made for men, and it gives men unrealistic standards of what women look like. But then that's the same thing with models and stuff. Like, if boys are always looking at models and then they call girls fat, like, no wonder that girls have such body dysmorphia problems.
Yes, I think models and catwalk, you know, if you're talking about catwalk models, I think it's mostly women that look at
women look at other women, but there is a pressure of, like, men look at women less like fashion models, but more like girls like Megan Fox,
Page 3.
Yeah, glamour, like.
Although Page 3 itself doesn't exist anymore.
But have you seen the actual Page 3 of The Sun? Because it's pretty much the same thing. Like, how have they managed to get away with that?
Well, they're slightly covered, aren't they?
They're just, like, on their back or something. But yeah, what I think is that...
I'm going to do a little test with you now, Ruth, to see how stupid you are. There's a book out called The Intelligence Trap, Why Smart People Do Stupid Things, and How to Make Wiser Decisions. So basically, even though you're smart and you've got a lot of what the what country music stars in America used to call book learning, you've got a lot of book learning in you. Yeah, you've got a lot of book learning in you, but you may be stupid, despite having all that book learning. So let me ask you these questions. It's a book called The Intelligence Trap, and they have a little, I'll ask you a few selected ones. The wind blows west, right?
Yeah.
The wind blows west. An electric train runs east. In which direction does the smoke from the locomotive blow?
There's no smoke because it's an electric train.
Brilliant, brilliant. Have you been asked that before?
I don't think so. I think that I was looking out for...
You're looking out for traps, yeah.
I love questions like this.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, here's another one then. If you were running a race and you passed the person in second place, what place would you be in now?
Second.
Yes.
Yes.
This is distressing, as I thought you might have. If you have only one
match... I've heard that one before.
Have you? If you have only one match and you walk into a dark room where there's an oil lamp, a newspaper and wood, which thing would you light first?
Wait, hold on a second.
Don't want to repeat the question?
Yeah.
If you have only one match and you walk into a dark room where there's an oil lamp, a newspaper and wood, which thing would you light first?
Do I have something to light the match with?
I think you've got the answer. The answer is the match.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would light the match. I wouldn't light... Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so you did actually better than your sister, who is the sports correspondent of Sky News, who, when I said that, immediately said, oh, the oil lamp. Well, there you go. A farmer had 15 sheep and all but 8 died. How many are left?
Wait, the farmer had 15 sheep... And all but 8.
Yeah.
That one was not that bad. That was
Emily's father has 3 daughters. The first two are named April and May. What's the third?
This is one of those ones they do all the time, Emily.
Yeah. Too easy. Do you have a meme?
I do. My top 3 assumptions when the doorbell rings. Number 1, murderer. Number 2, police telling me everyone is dead. Number 3, that book I ordered about positive thinking.
Very good. Very good.
That's a tweet, actually. It's a tweet that was on Instagram then.
Well, I'm not bothered where it comes from. It's a good joke.
It's good, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So there you go. And my Kardashian news is crap, and I don't even know what's going on, so I'm not going to tell it.
All right, no Kardashian. Well, that will please one or two of the emailers.
Exactly.
One or two of my cronies who don't really want to hear about the Kardashians. And that. So that's...
And there's none of my...
Let's protect the cronies.
None of my rubbish reality shows on at the moment, so you won't hear about any of
those.
Well,
they're coming up. They're coming. I'm a Celebrity.
I'm a Celeb. Oh, 18th of November.
Oh, right. I didn't know what date it was, but obviously you're better informed.
I'm excited. I love I'm a Celeb. Although, this year...
Yeah.
Deck and Holly Willoughby, innit?
It's Deck and Holly Willoughby. Well, that'd be an interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
Well, I think that'll do it for this week, Ruth.
Yes, I think it will.
I think we've done it. So,
thank you for listening.
Thank you very much indeed for listening. And we'll have more for you next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.